part of your day with us. I want to say thank you out there to a number of folks. First of all, there was a person that had called in and made a faith promise, a donation to WMIE during their fall offering event, and said that, you know, they were calling because they heard me talk about it on the radio program. So I want to thank you for doing that and let us know that you are listening. Also, on a program last week, I believe it was last Wednesday, we had a number of people that contacted me to let me know what a blessing that program was. And in fact, there were so many people, I said, man, I need to go back and listen to that myself. And, you know, I figured out what it was that I had shared that day. And we want to thank you for listening and encouraging us as we try and encourage you and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. So we want to thank you for that. If you would be praying for us today, we've got one of our dear ladies at the church is having surgery, and so we're praying that God will touch her and raise her up better than she's been, and take away some of the pain she's been dealing with, and enable her to resume the quality of life that she has been used to. So if you would be praying for that, we would be most appreciative. So today I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to work our way through this chapter of the book of Jeremiah and talk about some different aspects that are represented here. I've got a number of things that are spread out here on my desk. Do want to invite you out to our services this coming Sunday morning. We're going to be celebrating a little bit. My youngest daughter has been doing the children's ministry and been part of our Facebook announcement video team. She also coordinates our website and a number of other things that take place at the church. And she's getting ready to say I do and bye-bye. And so this will be her last Sunday in the children's ministry program. And so we're going to have a little bit of a celebration and thank her for all that she has done over the past, my kids have basically been in ministry from the time they said, wah. It just kind of one of the things that happens, and they've all cleaned the church. And in fact, I will just put this out there. We've had a number of people who've cleaned the church. Each one of my kids have taken a turn at it. And out of all of the people, paid or volunteer, and I'm not saying this because she's my daughter, I'm saying this because of the way that she applied herself to it. She did excellent at maintaining the church facilities when it was her season to do that. And we just want to say thank you and God bless you as you and your soon-to-be hubby embark on this new chapter in your life. So be praying for mom and dad, and you know, as we also make the adjustment in this situation. So if you'd like to be a part of that Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday school starts at 9:30. We do have Sunday night service this week. The next two Sunday nights we do not. So anyway, back to the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me just begin reading in verse number 13, and it says, "And I have seen," this is God speaking, "folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." Now, the prophets in Jerusalem were different than the prophets of Samaria. The prophets of Samaria were Baal worshipers, And so whenever they spoke out of a man-made God, out of a self-indulgent God, out of a God who accommodated carnality, where the Lord Jehovah calls us to rise above carnality and to live life the way that God designs us to, desires us to. And so God says, lest you think that that I'm going to let you get by, but just because somebody else is more depraved. In fact, I will tell you this, in one of the major prophets, it describes that faithless Israel was more righteous in God's sight than unfaithful Judah. And so if you were looking, you would say, well, at least we're giving lip service to it. But God says, in my perspective, which is always right, unfaithfulness is worse than people who have not put their faith into practice yet. God gives to every person the measure of faith. We have to make sure that we put that faith to good use in the right manner. So unfaithfulness is something that is described here in verse number 14 by God as a horrible thing. So here recently, it would have been a week ago yesterday, went home after church, and we were laying in bed, and I was watching a little bit of the World Series, and I made this comment. Wednesday night to Thursday morning is my shortest morning of the week. It normally results in about 5 hours of sleep, because it takes me about 2 to 2.5 hours to wind down from getting home from church and doing a few things around the house before I'm able to fall asleep. And my wife, it takes her about 2.5 minutes. Maybe on a bad night, it takes her that long. And that night I changed position so that I could be a little closer to the screen. And I said, oh, honey, I'm getting old. And she said, no, you're not. And I said, yeah, I am. She said, no, you're already there. And it's like, well, thanks for that perspective. It was something we both chuckled about. And, perspective can be an interesting thing. We don't think of ourselves as aging, you know. And the other morning in prayer, it was a week ago in prayer. I was realizing that it had been 2 years already since the 600th anniversary of the Reformation. I remember promoting, that, and it's like, man, time is flying by. It just comes and goes so quickly. So when God says something is horrible, it is absolutely horrible. His perspective is never faulty. And so what was this horrible thing that he had seen? He said they commit adultery. There was unfaithfulness in their covenant relationships, and they walk in lies. It was a lifestyle of deception. It wasn't just that they told lies. They actually lived lies. And the consequence of living a lie, which, we might put a label on it in modern times, like hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another. So the consequence of living a lie was that it strengthened the hands of people who were evildoers. They were not living the way that God wanted them to, and the very people that were supposed to be summoning people back into a relationship with God were being unfaithful to God, unfaithful to others, and unfaithful to the lost, so that the people who were doing evil were actually empowered and emboldened to continue to do the things that they were not supposed to be doing. I don't want to ever be guilty of that. I had a person one time, and they said, look, you have you have challenged me, you've challenged others. Why have you not challenged the behavior in these other people? And it was like, wow, I didn't realize that that was what was going on. And so I made that a matter of prayer and discovered that there was an adjustment that I needed to make, not just for my sake, but for the sake of those who were also observing what was going on, as well as for the sake of the people that I needed to talk and say, hey, this is not right. Because I don't want to be emboldening people who are separated from God by their sin. I want them to be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit so that they can be forgiven of that sin. When we live a life of deception, when we lifestyle of lies is what we have going on, the result of that is no one is going to turn back from his wickedness. Okay? If God wants all to come to repentance, and yet we are living deceitfully, the consequence is nobody's going to be repenting. No one's going to be turning away from their sin. No one is going to be turning to God. You know, we've got this really I don't want to use the word holy. Let me put it this way. I think many times we have a holier than thou mindset that we don't remember how messed up, how dysfunctional we were when God called us into our relationship. And, you know, you can be messed up in a lot of different ways, but if you're a sinner that's apart from God, you're going to end up away from God for all of eternity because you're not connected to him right now. God wants us living truth. He wants our lifestyle to be a lifestyle of truth, not deceit. And when we live the truth of God's word and we are truly living it, the opposite is going to happen. That is, people who are doing evil are not going to feel emboldened to do evil. They are going to feel ashamed. People are not going to want to resist repentance. They are going to be saying, brethren, what must we do to be saved? Do you realize that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, that the people were the ones that gave the altar call? They were like, what do we have to do to be saved? It's the easiest altar call of ever. And as a result of that, I think that we need to live the truth of the full Godhead in operation in our church. The wisdom of the Father, the salvation that is made available to us by the Son, and the holiness that is made possible and the empowerment that comes to us through the God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sins. We need more of that, not less of that. So let me take you down to verse number 25, same chapter, Jeremiah 23. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dream, which everyone tells his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The first thing that I want you to see here is they were living a lie. Now in verse number 26, we see, how long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. When we live a lifestyle of deception, that deception is going to take up residence in the very core of our being. It'll take up residence in our spirit, in our soul, in our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions. And as a result of that, it is the result of our heart being deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? We talked about that. But because of that deceit, that deceit that we are living, that deceit that has taken up residence inside of us, it is going to be the source of what we speak. And if you read this passage carefully, it says, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? The prophets who are living deceitfully, this horrible thing that God says, is that they are going to substitute a thus saith the Lord for a dream that they have conjured up within themselves. There is no substitute for a word from God. There is no substitute for thus saith the Lord. And so we can sit around and we can dream together a whole bunch, but if the dream is not from God, it's not going to be a substitute for thus saith the Lord. Okay, I don't care how wise a person is. I don't care how influential a person is. Merit Assembly of God is focused, it's very essential to us, very important that when we gather together, that there be a thus saith the Lord. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of wise people and there's a lot of profound principles that the world has to offer. But if it is not a thus saith the Lord moment that we have encountered, we're not going to see the same results as we would have if we stood up there and proclaimed, thus saith the Lord. The word of God is settled forever. Dreams come and dreams go. I preached a message one time about what was that from God or was it the pizza? You know, if pizza gets a rap for being the influence of many things that you dream at night. And so I tried to lay out some principles from God's word that give us a distinction between just fleeting fantasies or fleeting images that come into our mind at night, or is this something that God is speaking to us? Thus saith the Lord. Everything has to be measured by the word of God. Everything has to be measured by the word of God. It is the standard, the gold standard, the only standard. And so a dream is never, a fantasy is never a substitute for the word of God. Okay? Now it says, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams. The dream is designed, the intent of it, is to distance people from God rather than attract them to God. God's word is always going to be an inviting word. It may be a correcting word, but it's always an inviting. It is always designed to move us back towards what God has in store for us. And so I think that we could evaluate many of the things that we say and many things that we do by this and say, what is the end result of this going to be? Is it going to be drawing people to Jesus, or is it going to be driving them towards an idolatry, towards something that God never intended? Let's listen. Satan wants people to not retain the knowledge of God, and then he will try and substitute that and say, well, this is just as good as that. My wife does some shopping. She buys some of her groceries online and then we pick them up. And one of the things that they have is, do you want us to substitute something that we deem equivalent if this is not available? And so when she originally started doing that, she said yes, but after some of the substitutes she said, no, we don't want to do that anymore. No substitutions, because it's not the same. Programs are no substitutes for the presence of God. And you and I, we've got to remember the God who brought us there. Verse number 28 and 29, this is just a little statement that I want to read because it's a powerful thing. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Okay? One is to be discarded. The other is going to bring nutrition to your soul. So we need to be faithful. When people come to our churches, we need to be faithful to the word of God, proclaim that word, and say, you know what? Darkness is no threat to light. Light is a threat to the darkness. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is extremely powerful, but we will never get to the word standard if we live a lie, if deceit is our lifestyle. That is not just the words we say, it's who we are. It permeates our entire being. If we substitute dreams for the word of God, if we displace the word of God, we're not going to be challenged to be coming back to God. God said, look, I need people who will faithfully declare my word to their family, to their friends, to their spouse, to their coworkers, to their community. And then you will see some of the most challenging things are no match for the word of the living God. If it needs fire, my word is a blaze. If it needs force, there is a hammer that will break the rock to pieces. Verse number 30 through 32 says this. Therefore, behold, Jeremiah 23, 30 through 32. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saying the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. God says, for those who have set aside my word, substituted their dream for what my word has to say, he says, I'm going to position myself against them. You never want God on the opposing side of the field from you. Someone once said about Bear Bryant, he will take his players and then beat your players. And if at halftime you decide that you want to switch, he will take your players and then beat his own players. He was that good of a coach. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to stand in opposition to God. It's not a winning formula. He says that in prophesying dreams instead of the word of God, we steal God's word from our neighbor. Remember, the original Ten Commandment that we were talking about is thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. We cannot afford to steal God's word from our neighbors. You want the neighborhood to improve? Live the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. And he says, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams. And there's a result. There's a consequence. It causes my people to err by their lies and by their reckless. There was recklessness that was in operation in these prophets in Jerusalem. And as a result of that, it was being the foundational cause as to why people who were supposed to be led to holiness and led to righteousness were actually being led astray into error by the lies that they were hearing from the quote-unquote spokesman from heaven, the spokesperson for God, the prophet. Jeremiah says, this ain't good. Verse 32 ends this way. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would like to really be of benefit to those people that God has in his divine wisdom has chosen this time and this place for me to live. I want to for people to say, you know what? The neighborhood's better because of them. The neighborhood in the Merritt Park Place subdivision is better because of Merritt Assembly of God. But that doesn't happen if we give higher priority to our fantasies and our dreams and we displace the Word of God. Listen, it would be so much better for all of us if we would say, God, we're going to exalt your name and your word the same way that you have, above all else. Above all else. Your word. Jeremiah would go on to describe that God's word was like a fire shut up in his bones. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Have you ever had something that was so raging inside of you with intensity and passion that it had to have an expression? The reason that came is Jeremiah was so frustrated that people weren't responding to the word of God that he said, that's it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to proclaim the word of God. And yet the word of God raged intently inside of him. And he said, woe is me if I don't proclaim this word to the people I've been sent to proclaim it to. We cannot afford to delay one more day living a life of deceit or a life that does not line up with God's word. We can't move God off of the throne and put our dream up there. We need to be like John the Baptist and say, God must increase, I must decrease. God bless you. I pray that you have a marvelous day and that God will use you to speak truth and love to your community. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There's got to be more than going back and forth. Taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless,
the cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth. Can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. But that
that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps.